All right, welcome back to Ask the Pastor, and it's been nice having you with us. We know we have a lot of people who still want to have their or ask their questions, and there's still time to ask your questions, certainly. So let's have our questions coming in, because we still have our pastor, Pastor Moses Alu, here with us. Okay, this is Shalom, Pastor Moses Alu and Brother Gosin Uba. My question is on baptism. Can a Holy Spirit-filled pastor or brother baptize other believers in Jesus Christ's name when he himself was not correctly baptized in Jesus Christ's name?
No.
Okay.
Answer is simple, no.
Okay, that read to the end, especially taking into account that one can receive Holy Ghost baptism even before. Okay, the answer is already given. Question two, can someone receive Holy Spirit when he was incorrectly baptized, since sins are remitted by the baptism? Thank you, Brother Joshua from Zimbabwe.
Can
someone receive Holy
when
Spirit when he was incorrectly baptized?
Sure, but the evidence that is you are correctly baptized that will lead you to correct the water baptism.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. God bless you, Brother Joshua from Zimbabwe. Okay, we have another question. Brother Sam from Port Harcourt, Nigeria says, Shalom, Pastor Moses. Please, I need explanation on 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 20. We have many false prophets everywhere. Please, how can one stay without going against that scripture?
Okay. Let's read it.
1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 20. And it says, despise not prophesying. So how can one follow and obey this without...
There are two ways you despise prophesying.
Okay.
You despise it by refusing... What's prophesy? Prophecy is God talking to you.
Okay.
God talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't take heed to what you hear during prophecy, he can talk to you personal.
Okay.
And you hear the voice of God talking to you. And you say, I beg, you ignore it. You have despised that voice that is talking to you. Okay. That's what Apostle Paul is admonishing us here.
Okay.
One of the ways that you despise not prophesying, that you can despise it is by not allowing it to operate in the church.
Okay.
Because there are false prophets everywhere does not mean there's no true prophecies.
Okay.
There are true prophets also.
Mm-hmm.
So when you know how to judge every prophet, judge prophesying, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 tells us that, you should prophesy one by one and let the other judge. So you judge it. How do you judge a prophecy? You judge it by the word of God. If it's saying anything contrary to the word of God, then it's not of God.
Hmm.
Or it says it and it doesn't come to pass, then it's not of God.
Okay.
Then he also says it and begins to, it comes to pass, then begin to teach some people contrary something. Hmm. You be also careful. So, I think that's what it's trying to tell us there. So don't despise it. Okay. Don't despise it, but give it a proper place.
Okay.
God bless you.
All right, God bless you, brother from Port Harcourt. Okay, we have other questions, and this is coming from Brother Sulika Emily from Cameroon. Shalom, Pastor, and Isaka, brother, we say shalom to you, Brother Sulika. My worry is, if some angels that were with God sinned, becoming fallen angels, shall we human beings be free from sin in heaven?
If what?
If some angels that were with God sinned, shall we, who are human beings, be free from sin in heaven? So he's trying to say that angels were with God. In his mind, they were with him in heaven. And then yet they could still sin, though they were with God in heaven. And then they had to become fallen angels. So we who eventually will be with God.
We too, we are with God.
Okay.
We are with God too, in another way.
Okay.
And that is why I preach that message, the testing of God's creature.
Okay.
Those angels were tested at their time.
Okay.
And they fell. We human beings were also
with God at this time.
With God being tested also.
Okay.
And then later on we will be judged.
Mm-hmm.
And once you are judged, that's all. You are either going to hell or going to heaven.
Okay.
The nature of disobedience is no longer in us.
Okay.
when we finish passing the test.
Okay.
It does something in us that we can't see again.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. God bless you, Brasulika Emily from God bless you. I believe the question is answered. Pastor Dominic from Benue State, Nigeria. Pastor Dominic, shalom and God bless you, sir.
Shalom, sir.
Shalom. God bless you. Please go on with your question, sir.
My question is that you talk about special vessel.
Okay.
And we discover that Judas went to hell. Can we see in this our generation have a special vessel like that?
The special vessel in the order of Judas is no longer needed because such ministry is done away with.
Yes, sir.
So we don't have that anymore. So we cannot have it anymore according to the divine agenda.
Yes, sir.
He has fulfilled that for the purpose of our redemption. His action brought redemption to us. So there's nothing more anybody can do that will be better than redemption. God bless you, Pastor Dominic. Pastor Dominic, where are you calling from?
Benue State.
Sir, it's your pastor, your brother from Benue State.
Which
town? So I just started to work.
Okay. God bless you. God bless you. I wish you more grace.
Yes, sir.
God bless you.
All right, God yes, bless sir. You. God bless you, sir. God bless you, Pastor Dominic from Benue State. And God bless you, everyone watching us. Okay, we have other questions coming in. And this is saying, shalom to the bride of Christ. Good evening, Pastor. My questions are as follows below. One, is taking a cup of fresh palm wine a sin?
What are you taking it for?
Okay.
You are taking it to be high, shark. That will affect your senses. It'll get you drunk. When you say a cup, maybe you are talking of the quantity. Well, only one cup, you know better. Everything we do, what is the purpose? If you think taking a cup of palm wine will add value to your health in any way, continue to take it. And if it's not adding any value to your health, then what are you taking it for? God bless you.
Okay, question two says, there's a church we are worshiping here. They don't believe the baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, but they preach end time messages and practice holiness, but they only believe in baptism in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Even when someone wanted to show them the scriptures on the correct way of baptism, yet they didn't accept it. They said that the revelation of Kumuyi's wife that's in heaven did baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. How come did she make heaven if baptism of such is error? Please, sir, can someone still remain in
if
that
the
church?
Baptism.
Okay, if the baptism. Okay,
how did she make heaven if the baptism of such
is error? Say, please, sir, can someone still remain in that church that declined baptism in the name of Jesus Christ?
What you're actually asking me, you have found out that they are in error. You are asking me, should you remain in an erroneous assembly? One of the churches I once attended before Bride Assembly started, I was just a member in that church. We gathered when we are believing God for the Holy Ghost baptism. And a brother, a visiting minister, came and visited us. That church is somewhere in Shomolu in Nigeria, here in Lagos. What attracted me to that church was their desire to receive the Holy Ghost. And it was just a new gathering of people, they're very vibrant. Few people were gathering then. We were not too many. We didn't even have pastor. We had a group of brothers that came together that said they gave themselves exhorting brethren. You know, they wanted to appear humble. You know, so they said they were exhorting brethren. I think about three or four of them. And no pastor, but Obviously, one of them, had a subtle ambition to lead that group, you know. And then a visiting minister came in from another state and then had a revival meeting with us, and an anointing of the Holy Ghost was released. Mm. Manifestations that were never known in that church, in that gathering, began to manifest. But suddenly, when he left and went back, this man, that one of the exhorting brethren, came up and attacked it. And that was only Holy Ghost. Blah, 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 blah. Obviously, years later, it proved why he was doing that. He expected something would come and should come up through him. He needed some supernatural thing that would give him recognition for him to exercise his ambition. Time proved it. Well, before time proved it, there are some of us that I personally went to him and said I was leaving the church, because I told him I will not be part of a blasphemous assembly. What you are doing is blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. What happened is the Holy Ghost. Evidently, it was the Holy Ghost. And brother, follow truth and not sentiment. Is it a brother or a sister that wrote that?
It's a
brother. Now listen very well, very well. I repeat, Bride of Christ worldwide, listen very well. For anybody to come and give you a revelation that they saw Kumuyi's wife in heaven. Some say they saw Dahusa in hell. They saw this one. They are in the... Nobody, God will not allow anybody to know who is in heaven or in hell. Stop that thing they used to manipulate us. Somebody say he was in hell. What took you to hell? That means you're a hell candidate. You saw people who are in hell. Oh, then more time again, they took you to heaven. You are either following truth or you are following error. Simple. If you follow error, you will end up in hell. You follow truth. Jesus is the truth. You follow. You know, there is the spirit of error and there is the spirit of truth.
Amen.
The Bible places everywhere where you belong.
Amen.
Then, evidence of a Christian is the fruit. It's the fruit of the spirit. But the fruit of the spirit must not be confused with morality. So you have to be very, very careful. If you ever have a dream, and you saw anybody anywhere, it's a particular message God is giving you personal, and not for you to go to the whole world, that Kumuyi's wife is in heaven. That so-so person is, some have even entered the spirit. And then a lot of funny things, you know, happening. How can you follow error and end up in heaven? No sinner will go to heaven. And the only way your sins will be remitted is not because you're a church member, not because you're a pastor, not because you had an anointing. It is because you allowed the blood of Jesus Christ to remit your sins.
Amen.
And the ordinance God gave, Christ himself gave, is the ordinance of water baptism after repentance. Then you receive eternal life. And the evidence that you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it will lead you to all truth.
Amen.
All the errors you commit before, you find yourself correcting them.
Amen.
And please, stop joking with eternal destination. Get out of any place that you believe they are standing contrary to the scriptures and you have confirmed it. God bless you.
All right, God bless you. God bless you. Question three.
Let me quickly add this.
Okay, sir.
The writer there, whoever is asking that question, he said that they are also preaching end time.
End time. They say
what is end time?
Church.
They are also preaching end time. A lot of people think that preaching end time is preaching holiness. A lot of people believe that preaching end time is the end time message is preaching holiness. Yes. That is
the hair covering.
The hair covering. Don't paint. Yes. Woman, don't wear trousers. Don't do, don't steal, don't fornicate, and all those. Mm. That is not the end time message. It's been on since. Mm. John Wesley, you know, that was their own, and holiness, you know. And when the holiness preachers, John Wesley, when God was adding something to that, which is the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that will lead them to all truth, they rejected it. And they are still rejecting it now. So the entire message is not don't wear trousers, women stay like this, men stay like this, don't marry two wives, don't do this. And those are not, that's not the entire message. The end time message is come out of error. That is the message. And come back to the Bible. You can see the whole church does not believe in what the Bible says you should do. That is error. Get out of that place, bride of Jesus Christ. That's the purpose of this ministry. Yes, we are the end time message believers, preaching the end time message. Come out of error and come back to the truth. That's all.
Amen.
That's the message.
All right. Question from the same person says, the pastor said that the name of Jesus Christ is earthly name, that it's not functional in heaven, that when we reach heaven, that the Son will make his Father known to us.
Ephesians chapter 3 verse 15. What does it say?
Okay. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 15.
In heaven. Let me start from verse 14. Or so.
Ephesians 3 verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named.
So what is the family name in heaven?
It's Jesus Christ.
So why is he saying that, it is only earthly? Earth. He says in heaven and on earth. Can't you see the power in that name? Philippians chapter 2. From verse 9.
Philippians chapter 2 verse 9. And it says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth.
And you are saying that it's only an earthly name. An earthly name that is having a heavenly effect. Eh? So that they don't understand how Jesus spoke in John chapter 5 and verse 43.
John chapter 5 verse 43. And he says, I am come in my Father's name.
Which name is that?
Jesus Christ. And ye receive me not.
So what is the name of the Father?
Jesus.
God bless you. What's the next question?
All right, question 4. Says the pastor said that anybody who said women should not preach or teach in the altar is a liar. How truth is this statement? Because we read it in the Bible, yet the pastor still said otherwise.
You have answered already. You read it in the Bible, and say otherwise, so you know who is right and who is wrong. Fifth question.
Question 5. How long will a woman that gave birth, will start going, before she starts going to church for child dedication?
As long as she's strong enough to go out.
Okay.
There's no law under grace that say you must stay for a particular period.
Okay.
The period for purification, as it was in the law, for women who give birth to male children, a certain number of days, for female children, a certain number of days, for purification, ended with the law. Mm-hmm. It had its own reason. For now, the blood of Jesus has cleansed us. As you give birth to your child, once you are strong enough to go to church, better go to church with that baby. Yeah. And of course, not just that, it's good that the baby is also strong enough, because in taking the baby out to a place where there'll be noise, the ear drums are still fragile, and except it is a church that does not make too much noise. Not like Bride Assembly Church, will make a lot of noise. We shout, we scream, we worship with loudspeakers, and little child should at least be strong enough that you know is strong enough, or the church has a particular place where such children can be kept. But there is no law that says you cannot come to church. That was the Jewish law. under grace, nothing like that. Mm-hmm. How does it even sound to you, Seth? You leave her, but you go to market now. You go to market, in fact, the second, third day, you put to bed. And then when you come to church, you say you're not going to church. Ah! Who do us this thing that will make us not understand grace? God bless you. What's the next question?
All right, God bless you. Question six. Someone who baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost and want to correct his baptism in the name of Jesus Christ and saw a brother who had done his correct water baptism and he's not a pastor, okay, but he preaches about that. Can he baptize the person that wants to correct his baptism?
He's a preacher now. He said, go and preach to all creatures. He that believeth and is baptized. If he preaches to you and you believe, he's qualified to baptize you.
Amen.
And he himself, of course, he won't go and preach what? He'll be a false witness.
Yes.
If you have not baptized and you are preaching that people should baptize. So if he has corrected his own, why not?
Okay.
You to go and correct yours.
Amen.
He's qualified to baptize you.
Okay. Question seven. Is restitution a must for a repented sinner? Kende from Edo State.
Restitution is only done concerning the things that are restitutable.
Okay.
God has not given us any commandment to do restitution under grace.
Okay.
He commanded us to repent.
Amen.
The emphasis is repent. Don't go back to those bad things we were doing before.
Mm.
But after you are a believer now, it's expected. He said, confess.
Okay.
Why will I steal your book, Ebuka, and come to you and say, Ebuka, I'm the one that stole your book. The book is still with me. I'll return it to you. That's restitution.
Yes, sir.
Again, but if I have stolen this book and sold it, I don't even know who bought it and it's gone, how will I restitute that?
Okay.
I spent the money. I'll come to Ebuka. I'm sorry, I stole that book you are looking for. I sold it. Forgive me. You confess. But don't go and steal again. Even Ebuka will tell you, go and sin no more. Always, you will hear Christ say, go and sin no more. Not go and restitute. Be very careful with this doctrine of restitution. It messes the faith of the people when they come to Christ.
Okay.
God bless you.
God bless you. Okay, we have a call, and this is Brother Ada from Benue State, Nigeria. Brother Ada, God bless you, sir.
Good evening, sir.
God bless you, Brother Ada.
Yes, I want to ask.
Ada from where? We are in Benue State.
My cousin.
Are you Ada or Ada?
Ada is my name.
Ada, Abole.
No, Bobby, no. Yes, sir.
Let's hear you.
My question comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6.
Okay.
When Apostle Paul will say that those that are sleeping with their father's wife, their body should be destroyed so that their soul will be saved on the last day. So that the sinner's soul will be saved on the last day.
Yes, what's your question?
Can the soul of a sinner be saved on the last day?
Oh, you want to understand what Apostle Paul meant?
That's what's right.
No, he didn't say those. It's not a law. It's a particular man that was found guilty of fornication, and it is even the type of abominable one that a man will collect his father's wife.
Right.
That should put him away. The soul must be tormented. Once that establishes eternal security. That once you receive the Holy Ghost, you are saved, and forever you are saved. Whom God loves, He chastens. Why He says so is that every true born again Christian, the reason why God deals with you is to make you repent. And it is that posture of repentance that keeps you in fellowship with God to the end. So what Apostle Paul is teaching there is cast him out so that Satan will deal with him so that he will know what he did is wrong and cause him to repent. Go to 2 Corinthians, I think chapter 2, verse 7 or so. You notice that he was forgiven. So that contrary wise, you ought rather to forgive him. It's the same person.
Yes.
He said, forgive him and comfort him.
Yes.
That means he was really, really dealt with by Satan.
Mm.
They said, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Mm. So, and that is it. If you commit sin, that's the purpose of excommunication from a church, a true church. When you are excommunicated, you leave the umbrella of the protection that that ministry provides for you, so that Satan deals with you. Brethren are supposed to keep away from you, turn their back totally from you. They will only be praying for you in their privacy to make you understand that what you did is wrong and cause you to repent. That is the principle. But these days, when you say they should go, they'll be fighting you, sir. Instead of repent, they'll go and start their own church. And then there'll be many people will go there, even people from the church where he was coming, they'll follow him there. The confusion in Christianity is much, but the foundation of God standing sure. Having the seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. If you're a true seed of God, there's nothing you will do that you will go free. God must cause you to know. Even if you leave and go, instead of repenting, you go and start your own ministry in defiance. If you're a true child of God, you have the Holy Ghost. You will never have peace until you go back to that ministry and ask for forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And you are prayed for. Then you can, of course, go and continue your ministry wherever you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
God bless you.
Well, God bless you, Brother Cain Day. God bless you. And our caller, Ada from Benue State. Okay, God bless you. We have other questions coming in. And this is from Otupo, Benue State, Nigeria. Sister Marachi says, Shalom, Samuel, Grace. My first question says, Acts chapter 8, verse 14 to 17. Can Acts chapter 8, verse 14 to 17 be practiced today? Okay, that's...
Acts what?
Acts chapter 8, verse 14 to 17.
Read it.
Okay, and it says, now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost.
What are you saying? You say, can this...
Can it be replicated in the church today?
I don't hear programs with ministers being invited to come for programs. It's still replicated, and it's still going on now.
Okay.
Churches organize program and invite
other ministers,
to come and minister the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And it takes place. Yes, it is practiced in the church, and it can be practiced, and it is being practiced in the churches.
Amen. All right, question two from same person says, secondly, sir, I wonder why God will overlook those desirous of the Holy Spirit and will be pursuing those running away from him. I'm confused.
Sorry.
Question two. I wonder why God will overlook.
Question two?
Yes, that's question two. Say, secondly, sir, I wonder why God will overlook those desirous of the Holy Spirit and will pursue those running away from him. I'm confused.
No, you are confusing anointing of the Holy Ghost for a purpose. You are confusing it with baptism of the Holy Ghost as receipt of eternal life.
Okay.
Whenever you see God pursuing somebody, he's pursuing to achieve his purpose.
Okay.
And it's, sometimes it is not even for salvation.
Okay.
It is that he wants to use him, and you cannot battle with your maker.
Okay.
You cannot strive with your maker.
Okay.
But when it comes to eternal life, God doesn't pursue anybody.
Okay.
So when you desire, he gives you.
Okay, question three says, can a woman teaching in a school exalt doing school assembly where men are? Or is it only in the church, Sister Marachi from Otupo, Benue State, Nigeria?
What do you mean exalt?
That's in school
that's
assembly.
That's evangelism. That's not a church.
Okay.
That's evangelism. It's not a church. That your school. School is not a church. It's an outreach. Any man or woman, you know. But when we come together as believers,
okay.
You know, that's different.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, God bless you, Sister Marachi from Otupo, Benue State, Nigeria. Okay, we have other questions coming in. And, oh, Braganimex, another fervent follower from the Emirates, says, no matter the amount of river that flow into the sea, it can't change the salty taste of the sea. And so shall revelation abound in you, that you may feed the bride with perfect revelation.
That's a powerful prayer point. Amen. Thank you very much.
Okay, so I was studying Romans chapter 11 when a revelation struck me, and I wished to share to the bride. The things John was asked not to write in Revelation chapter 10 is a message to the children of Israel that died during the Gentile church age to test and raise those who were his own during that period. Okay, that's what he wants to share.
Well, not only the children of Israel, they are the dead in Christ. He said Revelation 10 is a message.
Mm.
The things, John, that is those seven thunder message. He said it's a message to the children of Israel that died during the Gentile church age to test and raise those who were his own during that period. During the Gentile church age, they rejected him. Always remember that Christ is coming for his own. Those he paid the price of redemption, those he paid the price of for redemption, they are the ones the blood is speaking for. They are the ones he gave the Holy Ghost. Take note that in Romans chapter 8, two verses there, verse 9.
Okay. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwell in you.
In you. Uh-huh.
Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his.
So, and Christ is coming for his own, for the rapture.
Amen.
And that is why in verse 11 of the same Romans
verse 11, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you.
And that is why in verse 16, verse 1 Thessalonians chapter 4.
Okay, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16 says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in
now,
Christ.
Now that is where I am going.
The dead in Christ shall rise first.
It is the dead in Christ that shall rise first. So when he descends to the lower part, he's going to the dead in Christ. Just for the body change.
Okay.
For the body change.
Okay.
He's going to do something there that will make their bodies to be changed.
Okay.
And that is what you see in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 and verse 52.
Yes.
It says a mystery.
Yes. Behold, I show you a mystery.
It is a mystery.
We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed.
Good. Just verse 52.
In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump.
That trump.
For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible.
That dead are the dead in Christ.
And we shall be changed.
So, what he does there is doing it for those who died in Christ to enable them. Have their body changed and come out of the graves.
Amen.
So it's not for the Jews. Only the Jews that were in Christ that died this period, they form part of those that will also come out. Not because they are Jews, but because they were in Christ by the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
All right, God bless you, Brother Ganimex from the Emirates. We have this call from Brother Kayode from Ogbomosho in Nigeria. All right, Brother Kayode, we say shalom and God bless you. Please go on with your question, sir.
Shalom, Pastor.
God bless you, Brother Kayode.
And Brother Ibuka.
Shalom, sir. God bless you, sir.
God bless you, real good, sir. Please now, the question I want to ask is in the book of First of Apostles.
Okay.
Chapter 13.
Okay.
From verse 7 through 12.
Okay.
My question is that concerning the issue that happened there, how can an evangelist or a preacher of the gospel, I mean, when could he exercise such authority?
Which scripture?
That Apostle Paul exercised when that particular man, by Jesus, want to obstruct the way of the gospel.
At what
exactly?
At what point can a minister exercise that?
When he told him he shall be blind for the season.
Man became blind.
It is when you are so moved by the Spirit to do it. When the Holy Spirit moves you to do it, you know that God wants to do that. Many more than that had taken place. Apostle Paul didn't act like that. Okay, remember even that woman that was following them and prophesied for some days by familiar spirit. Yes. Before Apostle Paul turned and shut up the spirit. So it is as led by the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
But I know why you say that, because the people display the spirit of anger, which is actually a weakness, and call it holy indignation, holy anger. No, before you do that, it's not something you even do regularly. It's not even something you will love to do. It's something that you are prompted to do by the Holy Ghost. So that you don't begin to use your anger, and then at every provocation you say, of course, you wouldn't even have a response from God for that. In your anger, you cannot tell somebody be blind and then he'll be blind. Nothing like that. It won't work. But if it is God that prompts you to do it, then he will do it for a purpose. God bless you.
Okay, thank you, sir.
All right, God bless you, Brother Kayode. And interestingly, just as Pastor has said, you see that the result was seen in Acts 13, verse 12. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord.
Brother Kayode, are you with us?
Yes, sir.
Do you also remember that Jesus Christ forbade his disciples from laying curse?
Yes.
He told them, you don't know what manner of spirit you are made of. So you are careful to use the anointing you have negatively. You don't curse, you bless. You pray for them. But this was an obstruction to the ministry, and God was going to use it. If you remember, he didn't do it to destroy the man. He did it to prove to the man that what he's doing is the truth. Is of God and should stop that. So he was doing it by way of chastisement, and to the purpose was God was allowing him not to punish that man, leave him perpetually blind. It was just to let the man know that it's God I am fighting. So don't compare that with somebody who will lay curse on someone and say, until you come and bless me, until you come and kneel down, beg me before I will release you. That one is witchcraft in the church. Anyone in the name of Jesus, because he offends you, a personal offense, or does anything, and then you lay a curse on him, that's witchcraft. If it ever comes to pass, you are destroying somebody like that. It's wrong.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you too.
God bless you.
Amen.
God bless you, Brother Kayode from Bumosho here in Nigeria. Okay, so we have other questions coming in, and this says, greetings to our precious daddy in the Lord, Pastor Moses Alu. Your pursuit for the truth and further revelations is quite admirable. Once again, I can't forget the revelation I personally received from William Marion Braham, where he said to me that you are the one to explain the seemingly controversial statements he made during his time of preaching. I am in my early 30s and did not know anybody by the name William Marion Braham. I should therefore say you are my prophet, taking me back to the Bible faith. God bless you, sir. Now, about this Godhead, me and my brother have been following Brother Olumide's teachings, and from the various scriptures where Jesus spoke himself, it appears Jesus is speaking with two voices in that same body. Sometimes he speaks as the Father, and sometimes as the Son. during yesterday's interaction between the lady and Brother Olumide about this same Godhead, we saw that the woman was not completely wrong, but she just needed one more step to see the thin line, okay, between the Father and the Son. Sir, is our revelation correct? And okay, that's the first part of the question.
The first part. Well, first and foremost, I want to thank you for sharing that revelation. I want you to note something. God revealed, showed you, gave you a revelation where William Branham was telling you that I will explain those
controversial statements
that he made, that people are wrestling to their destruction. Praise God. Now that was just to call your attention to what I'll be teaching. Now, if I teach it wrongly, what you will use to judge me, whether it is right or wrongly taught, will not be that William Branham said you should listen to me.
Amen.
It will must be that you have confirmed it from the scripture.
Amen.
If not, Satan can also give such a revelation for you to listen to his agent, and you think it is God that is talking to you. I just want to put that so that you use that to guide such revelations. It only call your attention. God once told me about a preacher by the name of Raymond Jackson, and that if I follow the teaching of this man, I will hit the revival that I was looking for in 1995, long before this church started. And that is how I began to follow the teachings of that man. But despite that revelation, I did not agree with everything he taught, because there are some of them that I could not agree with. So we are made of a stuff like that, the elect of God, that you don't just follow people like that. Now, concerning the doctrine we are teaching about the Godhead, a lot, there is the tendency for you to go off and look at Jesus as the Father, as the Son, as the Holy Ghost. That is, you look at the divinity of Jesus Christ to the exclusively and reject the humanity of Jesus Christ. That is why Christ, knowing there will be such a confusion, he said, who do men say I am? Because there will be controversy. And that controversy is still going on. Some say you are the second person in the Trinity, third person in the Trinity. Some say you are the Almighty God, Emmanuel. Some say you are the Son of God. Some say you are this, you are that. But who is he? Is dependent upon which angle you are looking at him. But for the purpose of the mystery of salvation, we have two scriptures. God was in Christ. You cannot rule that out. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. Again, that you hear the scripture say there is one mediator between God and man, and he called him the man
Jesus.
You cannot also rule out the fact that this same Bible called him the Son of David. You see, and to crown it all is 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We have to read that.
Okay.
From verse 25 up to verse 28.
1 Corinthians chapter 15 from verse 25 says, for he must reign till he had put
all... Who is he that will reign?
Christ Jesus. Must reign till he had put all enemies under his feet.
Put all the enemies of God under his feet.
The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death.
Yes. Okay. Let me read it for emphasis. The scripture says, it said, for he has put all things under his feet. But when he said all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted. We did put all things under him. That is, It is someone that put the all things under Jesus. The one that put all things under Jesus, not among the things that are under Jesus. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, Jesus, shall Jesus himself, also the Son now, also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. So you see the man Jesus, the God Jesus, divinity and humanity. You have to just look at it that way. So you say he speaks with two voices. No, he speaks with two authorities. That is the authority of the Father and the Son, authority of the Son. There is his speaking as divinity and speaking as a human, as a human. God bless you.
All right, God bless you, Edmund from Ghana. Okay, we still have the second question that says, again, concerning the rapture, you try to let us understand that there are three pools. When did the first and second pool take place? It's Edmund from Ghana.
Maybe you didn't listen to my teaching yesterday. You said, when did the first? I said there are three pools.
First and second pool take place.
I said there are three pools, if I'm going to follow your question.
Yes, he said there are three
pools. He said, when
did the first and second pool take place?
Maybe you will have asked that I say we're in the third pool. Then you will ask now, when did the first and the second take place? Maybe that's the question. Sure, but you are saying, I said there are three pools. Rather, you will have asked, what are the three pools? I think that's a better way of asking these questions. So the three pools, we see them in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. The shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. We are still under the first stage, which is the shout. Okay. After that, then the voice of the archangel of Revelation chapter 10, verses 1 to 6, that produces the seven thunders, message to the dead in Christ to prepare them for their body change. And when they come out of the graves by the message of the seven thunders, then the third stage takes place, the third pool,
the trump of God,
takes place, which is the trump of God, God that gathers us, and then we go. So we have not yet reached the second one. We're still in the first one. Maybe he is referring, because we talk about the pool.
Okay.
Now we are saying that the shout, which is the first stage of that first Thessalonians 4:16 of the pool, because the Lord himself shall descend with a shout. Now we say this shout, they are also in three phases. Maybe that is what you are asking. Now we are actually in the third phase of the shout, and there are the pools. And then that is what took us to the parable in Mark chapter 4, verse 26, where that seed that was planted begins to pull out until rapture, which is the blade, the ear,
the
corn in the ear, which is the third stage.
And
we say that is justification, Luther, sanctification, John Wesley. So if you say, when did the two pools take place, maybe that is what you mean. Then I would say, yeah, it took place during the restoration of justification and sanctification. They took place two different periods. And now we are in the Pentecostal age that started in 1906. And we are now getting perfected by the perfecting ministry of that God used William Branham to begin. Here my emphasis to begin, because the perfection will go on till we go in the rapture.
Amen.
Thank you.
All right. God bless you, Brother Edmund from Ghana. Okay, we have our last question for today, and this is from Brother Joel from Ogun State, Nigeria. Brother Joel says, good evening, sir. Please, what is the difference between repentance and conversion?
Repentance leads to conversion. I think we answered this last week.
Okay.
It is repentance that leads to conversion. God bless you.
All right. Okay, God bless you, Brother Joel from Ogun State, and God bless you everyone for being here with us today. We truly appreciate And it's been a blessing receiving questions, receiving feedback, receiving suggestions and opinions, biblical opinions from brethren. It lets us know that we are speaking and people are also listening. And it also puts us, lets everyone to know that there's a need to study, to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Remain blessed, and God bless you for being with us on Ask the Pastor. From every one of us right here, we say shalom, 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 and God bless you.